Greetings once again from Denver, Colorado, the city right here in the middle of it all. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's so good to be back with you here on Father's Day. Father's Day weekend, really. At least it has been around the McBurney compound. It's been a Father's Day weekend. I've had the opportunity to go to the park with my daughters two or three times since Friday. It's been really cool. But I've just simply have to make an observation, okay? And don't take this the wrong way. But the last couple times we've gone down to the park, local park adjacent to soccer field. How should I put this? Well, none of the other parents speak English. There's a variety of Russian, Polish, Southeast Asian, and Hispanic Latino parents and children down at the local park, but not a single white chick with a baby. I don't know what's going on. Are white women just not having kids anymore? Are English speakers just not having children in the Denver metro area? I just don't get it. And it doesn't bother me all that much because I don't necessarily want to talk to other parents, but it just struck me as odd. It's been striking me as odd for some time. And, I just wanted to point that out. I'm not sure why. Oh, I know, because I wanted to lead into this other, regarding children. Something that I've noted amongst my own children, and I want to know if you've experienced it yourself, if you have children, is that if you're playing and you're having fun, and you're having a good time, and the kids are all wrapped up in what they're doing, it seems to me that kids seem to think that stopping to pee is like the end of the world. They'll do anything to not have to go pee, to the point where they're crossing their legs and bouncing up and down, and you go over to, and I say, Zoe, do you need to pee? And she's holding on and crossing her legs, and she says, no. And I say, Zoe, if you stop and go pee, you can come back and play. It's not going to stop everything. You're not going to fall off the edge of the world if you just stop to go pee. Anyway, I guess children are a lot like puppies. You know, they're just thinking in one frame. They're living in the moment, and they don't want the moment to end. Oh, yeah, but puppies don't hold it, do they? Yes, puppies have one up on children. They realize that they can pretty much pee at any time and go on about their business. that reminds me of a sign I saw. I was driving across country not too long ago, and I stopped in at a Wendy's restaurant somewhere in the Midwest. And as I was waiting for my triple with cheese, I noticed a sign that was hanging up to the right of the cash register, and it said all unattended children will be given free sugar and a puppy. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cute. All right. Let's see. Now, we have to get to the serious news of the day. Should we get... No. Before I do that, let me tell you one more experience here in the greater Denver metropolitan area. And tell me if this has been popping up in your neck of the woods. My family and I went down to the karate dojo in Denver and attended my daughter Nicole's green belt test for 4.5 hours early in the morning Saturday. Well, we all went down there and sat through the 4.5 hour. Well, we sat through it. Nicole sweated and just about died. But she's officially a dangerous, deadly weapon now. I tell you what, I was watching that kid, and I wouldn't want to mess with the kid. She's really getting pretty good. But anyway, we sit through the 4.5 hours of the green belt test, and we were starving. And we decided that we would go to a local Cuban place because we heard they had a really good Cuban sandwich. And so we packed the family in the car. We went on up to West 38th Avenue, Denver. And as I approached Bucci Restaurant, the Cuban sandwich joint, I'm looking at the lay of the land, as I am often wont to do, and I noticed that on the corner was a Mexican ice cream stand, and then there was a medical marijuana dispensary, and then there was the Cuban sandwich joint, and then there was a medical marijuana dispensary on the other side. And I've got to tell you, it was interesting. We took a seat outside under the umbrella. It was a nice hot summer day, pre-summer day. And as we were sitting there eating what turned out to be a pretty delicious Cuban pork and fried onion sandwich. Not fried, what were they? Caramelized. Sauteed onions, I apologize. Cuban pork and sauteed onions, I highly recommend it. Bucci Restaurant 38th. And if you need medical marijuana, well, I mean, you're just right there. But as we were sitting outside under the umbrella eating our Cuban pork sandwich, it was sad to see one after another young 20-something and 30-something Denver men obviously stricken with life-threatening and ongoing disease, marching in and out of the medical marijuana dispensaries on both sides of the Cuban sandwich joint. It's so sad that Denver has so many young men, too. What's really strange about it is they all seem to be young and thin and pale and white.
Not necessarily
thin. Well, maybe that's why white girls in Denver aren't having kids anymore. All the white guys in Denver are stocking up at the medical marijuana store, going home and having munchies and playing video games and whatever. Anyways, it was just sad to see. All right, now, is there any serious news this week? There is some. I want to start out with I made a couple of predictions on the radio in Denver last week as I sat in guest hosting for Bob Enyark on KLTT Radio. I made a couple predictions regarding the NBA playoffs, a couple of bold predictions. My first prediction was that the Minnesota Lakers would fall to defeat at the hands of the Boston Celtics. A lot of people said that was a stretch, being as they were playing at home. Although, see, I had heard the game was in L.A., and I thought that was odd. Turns out the Lakers moved to Los Angeles some time ago. So I turned out to be wrong on the prediction of the actual game. But the other prediction I made was that win, lose, or draw, there would be violence and rioting in the streets in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. And turns out I was right about that. But that, you know, that wasn't really a stretch. Anyway, apparently there was, according to the LA Times, fans went on a rampage in some parts of downtown, throwing rocks, shattering windows, rocking cars, setting fire to at least one vehicle. Police fired less than lethal rounds at fans after they overturned a city parking enforcement vehicle and set fires. A group of men were throwing chunks of concrete at the police. Now, I'm sorry, if you're throwing chunks of concrete, I think less than lethal rounds are an insufficient response, because a chunk of concrete can be lethal, okay? I mean, have you ever read the story of David and Goliath? Five smooth stones and all that? Anyway, chunks of concrete were met with less than lethal rounds. Some fans, according to the LA Times, ran onto the freeway. And unfortunately, none of them were run over. But apparently, some level of tranquility has returned to Los Angeles. It's returned to its normal warlike state out there with the barbed wire on the signs and the gang wars and the shootings and the bludgeonings, the stabbings, the beatings that happen every night. LA's back to normal now. So anyway, forgive me for my lack of knowledge of the National Basketball Association, but I must admit I have not been paying attention. All right. Now, let's get on to some political news. Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Glad to have you on board. And if you're not a father yet, come on in. The water's warm. You'll dig it. It's really cool. Put down the medical marijuana and think about procreation. All right. Now, there was a proclamation today by Barry Ho, the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. I picked this up off the wire. A proclamation by the President of the United States regarding Father's Day. And it's a bit odd. Tell me if you pick up on anything that strikes you as a little bit odd in Barry's proclamation. Nurturing families come in many forms, and children may be raised by father and mother, a single father, two fathers, a stepfather, a grandfather, a caring guardian, barnyard animals, circus freaks, or aliens. All of our fathers deserve our unending appreciation and admiration, said Barry Ho. I thought it was kind of strange that in a Father's Day proclamation, actual normal fathers were pretty much mentioned as an aside. And so I would ask Barry, you know, what's the point in making a Father's Day proclamation if you're going to be honoring the barnyard animals and two father families? Families come in many forms. And children may be raised by two fathers or a barnyard animal or a circus freak or aliens, Barry. But Barry, this is Father's Day. I guess there's no point in trying to straighten him out on that. Anyway, I didn't go golfing. I was busy being a father. Barry apparently went golfing. Now, I can't stop the oil leak down in the Gulf of Mexico either. But at least I was about the business that's important while Barry was golfing yet again. Not that I have anything against golf or the Gulf for that matter. All right, that's just getting stupid. I gotta move on here. Let's get into the war file for some serious news. This is from the Israeli National News. Today, Egypt allowed at least one Israeli and 11 American warships to pass through the Suez Canal as an Iranian flotilla approaches Gaza. Now, for all you publicly educated and public school educators out there, pull up your computer program and look at a map, and you can figure out where the Suez Canal is. And maybe you'll be able to figure out that this is a fairly important piece of news here. The clearance, according to the Israeli National News, for the American-Israeli fleet may be a warning to Iran. A warning, I said, to Iran. And they warn that another battle on the high seas may involve one and possibly two Lebanese vessels that are aimed at challenging Israeli sovereignty over the Gaza coastal waters. So here we have a flotilla of Iranian ships allegedly full of women, as fundamentalist Muslim regimes are wont to do, placing women and children at the forefront of the battle. And now we've got possibly some Lebanese vessels that are aimed at challenging Israel. And here Egypt allows us into the Red Sea. And it bothers me, and I'm no military genius, but why are we announcing in the newspaper that we're sending warships? That doesn't seem to, it doesn't seem to fit if you're really sincere about making a credible military threat. You would think you would want the Iranian ships to suddenly realize that they're surrounded by American and Israeli warships. But, to me, that would be a sufficient warning and an effective one. But in the modern era, our military activities are just reported in the newspapers. And so I just don't know. I don't know if I take this as a sincere threat of the use of military force. But one thing's for sure, we will find out, will we not? Because I don't think the Iranian boats and the Lebanese boats, who have for some reason been emboldened against Israel, to break the Gaza siege. I don't think they're going to stop, and so that will all come to a head here in the very near future, I do think. And maybe somebody should ring Barry up and tell him not to be releasing press releases about the movement of our naval ships. Anyway, more from the war file. Let's see here. This is from the Associated Press. Forest Park, Georgia. Army officials are investigating the shooting death of an Army reservist at a military base south of Atlanta. The victim died last Thursday at the U.S. Army Reserve Center located at Fort Gillem, Georgia. Authorities have not... let's see. The shooting happened at the Army Reserve Center there between 4 and 5 o'clock last Thursday afternoon, and authorities have not yet determined a motive, but we have one Army reservist who is dead. Shot, apparently. Well, the story doesn't say, but what do you think? Do you think it was another Nidal Hassan terrorism, or is it just sexual immorality? What do you think the odds are of a reservist killed on a military base? Do you think it's terrorism or sexual immorality? My guess is it's the latter. And perhaps that'll be cleared up for us fairly soon. Now let's move more from Iran. Tehran from the Xinhua News Agency over in China. Iran's parliament speaker, Ali Larijani, warned the West and certain countries with retaliation if they try to inspect Iranian planes and ships following last week's UN-Security Council sanctions resolution against Tehran. You remember the UN-sanctions, the UN-Security sanctions, say that we now have the right to inspect any ships and planes that are going, heading for Iran. Well, the parliament speaker there in Iran said, "I am warning the U.S. and certain adventurous countries that in any case they plan to inspect the cargo of Iranian ships and planes, they should rest assured that we will do the same in the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman with our ships." That was the speaker of the Iranian parliament, Ali Larijani. Yeah. So the new round of UN Security Council sanctions resolution adopted against Iran, it aims to restrict the country's shipping and air cargo operations, and in an ancillary fashion, apparently aims to allow for the incineration of Tel Aviv as soon as humanly possible. That seems to be the official position of the United Nations, at least it appears to be. From Washington, D.C., and the Reuters Wire from the war file, Senator John McCain, the son of Cain, who ran against Barack Hussein Obama in the 08 presidential election, voiced concern about slower-than-expected progress in southern Afghanistan and doubts about Afghan President Hamid Karzai. McCain said, "I am deeply concerned about our campaign in Afghanistan. Many of the key trends seem to be heading in a bad direction, perhaps even signaling a mounting crisis." McCain. Well, John, then why didn't you campaign against Obama in 2008? If you're concerned about a mounting crisis, why didn't you mount a campaign? Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's because he's a Democrat. Get out of here with that. All right, now, let's move on to news of the economy. The head of the European Commission has warned that democracy could collapse in Greece, Spain, and Portugal unless urgent action is taken to tackle the debt crisis. Democracy could collapse. Now, crisis hit countries, according to the Daily Mail over in the UK, crisis hit countries in southern Europe could fall victim to military coups or popular uprisings as interest rates soar and public services collapse because their governments run out of money. That's what's happening. Yeah, they're not really running out of money. They're running out of the ability to borrow money, which is an interesting scenario to consider. Socialist governments running out of the ability to borrow money as they quash the means of the private sector to produce wealth. It's going to be an interesting intersection of events coming to a head very soon, not only in the EU, but right here in the good old US of A. EU chiefs have begun work on an emergency bailout package for Spain now. Spain, a $1 trillion bailout for Greece, has already been agreed to, but they don't know where they're going to get that trillion. And now they've got Spain, and coming up in the chute, they've got Portugal. And from what I understand, Ireland is not far behind. And, it's just looking ugly. Yeah. Now, regarding Greece, Spain, Portugal, and the rest, according to the Daily Mail, the message was blunt from the EC Commission. This fellow there says, look, if they do not carry out these austerity packages, these countries could virtually disappear in the way that we know them as democracies. They've got no choice. This is it. Yeah. The austerity package. Austerity, they call it. To a socialist government, austerity means that you simply have to stop borrowing all of your grandchildren's money. I mean, they've already borrowed and spent all of their children's money. And now that they're being told that they must stop spending their grandchildren's money, they call it austerity. As if they have to, like, skip two meals a day. Anyway, they do have, they say they have no choice, but they do have a choice. There are many dangerous and destructive choices that European social democracies could take. And, you know, the Europeans are famous for butchering one another. And to think that we've moved into an enlightened age and that Europe could never again descend into full-scale warfare, I think is naive. And, the party's just about over there. And, we'll just have to, hopefully we can watch from afar and we won't be embroiled in it ourselves. It certainly is disturbing to watch happen, but I mean, those of us who are, you know, those of us who believe in freedom and liberty and a free market economics, you can't say that we didn't tell you that this was going to happen. Okay, you can't just continue to steal people's money and borrow people's children's money and just expect that to go on forever. I'm sorry, you just can't do it. So the bill will come due here, unfortunately, in the not-too-distant future. So keep an eye on all of that. And we'll do the same here if you don't have time. If you still have the ability to generate wealth, we'll go out there and generate it. And we here at the Weekly Worldview will keep our eye on the news for you. All right. Now let's move into the justice file. I want to start with some good news because we all could use some good news. From Draper, Utah, death row inmate Ronnie Lee Gardner was executed by a team of marksmen last Friday morning. Yeah, Friday morning at about 12:20 a.m. Mountain Time. I actually stayed up to watch with bated breath, waiting for the breaking news, and sure enough, around 12:30, the breaking news came through that Ronnie Lee Gardner had actually been executed. He was asked if he had anything to say And he said, well, when they asked him, do you have anything to say? He said, I do not. No. He had nothing to say. I'm sure he was contemplating the fact that he was about to cross over into the great beyond and Judgment Day. You know, nothing will focus a man's attention on his need for God than the fact that he's about to meet him. And so maybe Ronnie Lee, he didn't want to make a speech. He didn't have a lot to say. He was contemplating, which is a good thing for Ronnie Lee. If any of you listened to the broadcast in Denver on Friday, I said my prayer for a firing squad. I actually said a prayer for Ronnie Lee and the firing squad on the air in Denver. Quite shocking to many listeners, because so many in our alleged Christian family are against the death penalty. To hear a Christian guy on the radio praying that the aim of the firing squad be true and that Ronnie Lee Gardner have take this opportunity to repent and be forgiven of his heinous and hideous crimes, well, it was just quite shocking. We had phone calls and emails. People were quite disturbed, and I'm really glad that they were, because it was something they needed to think about. Let's see here. Gardner's brother was not allowed to attend. Ronnie didn't want any of his family to attend the execution. But his brother said, quote, I don't agree with what he done or what they done regarding the firing squad. That was right after the execution. So Gardner's brother, he disagrees with the fact that his brother was a double murderer. And that's encouraging. But then he disagrees with the firing squad duly executing his lowlife scumbag brother, murderer. And so Gardner's brother, Randy, obviously quite confused. Quite confused. And just another sign that at least up until the execution, Ronnie Lee Gardner had not reached a point of repentance and had not asked for forgiveness for his sins. But we'll all find out on the other side, won't we, whether or not Ronnie Lee Gardner in the final moments of his life actually came to repentance. I think it's doubtful. Gardner, you'll remember, was sentenced to death after being convicted of murder in 1985 for killing a lawyer. Gardner was at the Salt Lake City Courthouse in 1985 facing murder charges in the shooting death of a bartender. Now, I'm not sure if the bartender's murder rated the death penalty. I'm not sure if Gardner was facing the death penalty at that trial. See, he tried to escape during the trial and shot a lawyer to death. So the bartender, I guess his murder, my guess is, I have to go back and do the research, but my guess is that the bartender's murder probably didn't rate the death penalty. But once Gardner killed a lawyer, apparently the Utah legal community was sufficiently offended that they actually sentenced him to death. And after 27 years, 25 years, the execution was finally carried out, and my guess is that Ronnie Lee Gardner was probably too hardened against the ridiculous and unjust justice system that penned him up in prison like an animal for 25 years. Instead of treating him with the dignity of a human being and executing him swiftly, they locked him up like an animal and hardened his heart against God and man for 25 years. And so Ronnie Lee Gardner is probably currently dwelling in the lake of fire. Yeah, in hell. More than likely. We'll bring you an update on Judgment Day. We'll all be there. All right. Now, we move from the justice file into the domestic tranquility file. A man walked into a Southern California fast food restaurant with two handguns, and opened fire on his stepdaughter's family. Alex Trujillo and his son Adrian, just 6 years old, were killed when Jimmy Slager entered a Del Taco in San Bernardino and opened fire on Saturday afternoon. That's from the Associated Press. Trujillo's wife and the couple's other child, a five-year-old boy, were also injured in the shooting. Wow. The killer, Jimmy Slager, shot and killed himself in the Del Taco as well. Schlager had an extensive criminal record dating back to 1972 that included assault with a deadly weapon. 1972, I said. So here's another fine example of the justice system allowing a man who should have been executed in 1972, to go on, and now he's attempted to slaughter an entire family and indeed killed a father and his son the day before Father's Day there in San Bernardino, California. That's a state of domestic tranquility in San Bernardino. Let's go to Anaheim, California. Police followed a trail of blood last Monday morning to the terrified and gravely wounded 3-year-old boy who ran and hid after his father shot his mother and then committed suicide. The 3-year-old's 5-year-old brother had run from the Sunday evening gunfire and hid inside the family's house. When police arrived, they found the parents' bodies sprawled across lawn chairs in the backyard and a trail of blood leading to the 3-year-old, who had been shot 3 times, once in the shoulder, stomach, and chest. The 3-year-old underwent surgery and is expected to survive. That's Anaheim, the home of Disneyland. More from the Domestic Tranquility File. Woburn, Massachusetts. Thomas Mortimer IV wrote 2 identical letters found in his home that read, "I did these horrible things. What I've done is extremely selfish and cowardly. I've murdered my family," the letters read. He's accused of killing his wife, 2 children, and his mother-in-law in their suburban Boston home. The district attorneys say that the murders followed a fight and ongoing marital discord. Killed were 41-year-old Laura Stone Mortimer and their son Thomas. The mother-in-law, Ellen Stone. 2-year-old daughter, Charlotte Mortimer, was in her crib and appeared to have been killed by blunt force trauma and sharp objects. There were signs that Mortimer had attempted suicide before he fled the home. He has survived. Oh. Yeah, he has survived. Can we even take any more from the Domestic Tranquility File? Dateline Hillsborough, Oregon. Hillsborough police say an officer responded late last Thursday to an incomplete 911 call from a restaurant. The officers arrived seeing a woman who had been stabbed lying on the floor with a man standing over her with a bloody knife. The armed man began approaching the officer, who fired his gun, critically wounding the man, who was taken to a hospital where he later died. The woman was butchered and died at the scene in a restaurant in Hillsborough, Oregon. All right. So one more from the Justice File, just not to put too fine a point on the state of the justice system and the trail of blood that it has produced, but listen to this. But ladies and gentlemen, our justice system is broken. Concord, New Hampshire, from the Associated Press. A New Hampshire sex offender, a registered sex offender, is asking the state's highest court to allow him to go to church with a chaperone. 35-year-old Jonathan Perfetto of Manchester, New Hampshire, was convicted in 2002 of possessing child pornography. And for that, he's on probation. So here's another deviant victimizing children, and he's put on probation. A condition of his probation is that he have no contact with children. And so he's told the state, "I want to go to church." And the state is in the uncomfortable and odd position of having to say, "No, you can't go to church because you're not allowed to be around children." Couple of solutions. First, he could just go to a United Methodist church where he'll meet people a lot like him. Or, my preferred solution, execute the bastard. We'll be right back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm Doug McBurney, and I've got a little bit more. I've got a little bit more from the Justice File, even though I would like to just set the Justice File and the Domestic Tranquility File aside for the week. Well, I just can't. I can't. So, let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. From the Associated Press, a convicted sex offender with a tattoo of Adolf Hitler on his chest is on trial in what authorities say was an unprovoked beating of an elderly fisherman. Calvin Lochner faces charges including armed carjacking and armed robbery in the beating of James Privat. And Lochner has confessed to the beating. He's a white supremacist. Not only has he confessed to the beating, but he said in his confession that the beating wouldn't have happened if James Privat, the fisherman, had been white. Oh yeah, did I mention the fisherman was black? Does that make you more or less angry? I mean, it doesn't affect me in any way. It doesn't matter to me if the fisherman was red, black, green, yellow, red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. Anyway, so why are we having a trial is what I don't understand. If he's confessed to the beating and the man who was beaten says, this is the guy who beat me, and the guy who did the beating with the Hitler tattoo on his chest says, yeah, I beat him because he's black. I mean, do we really need to go through an extensive trial? Could there not be a summary judgment in this case? For crying out loud. this dirtbag Calvin Lochner is an avowed white supremacist who's been incarcerated for most of the past decade and no doubt should have been executed some time ago, I'm certain. Sometime shortly before or after he had Adolf Hitler tattooed on his chest. I'm certain he committed more than one crime deserving of death. But there's Baltimore for you. One more from the Justice File. Hang on, folks. Don't get too depressed. I'll try to have something interesting and a little more lighthearted before we end the broadcast. Stockton, California, Melissa Huckabee has been sentenced to life without parole as part of a plea deal that took the death penalty off the table in the murder of 8-year-old Sandra Cantu of Tracy, California. Did you catch that? Now that should make your blood boil. A plea deal that takes the death penalty off the table in the murder of an 8-year-old girl. And by the way, the headline on this story from our good friends over at the Associated Press, the headline reads, Sunday school teacher gets life term for California murder. I think they like that over at the Associated Press. They like reporting on Sunday school teachers that do horrible things to children. And I would like to remind the Associated Press that approximately, now this is just my opinion, approximately 90% of Sunday school teachers are not Christians. So please do not associate them with us. Yeah, I don't know if I've said this on the show, but it's my suspicion that about 90 to 95% of the so-called churches, Christian churches in America, are nothing of the sort. but that's a whole other story. 8-year-old Sandra Cantu, her body was found in a suitcase pulled from an irrigation pond. In this plea deal, this is a deal that the government makes with a murderer in order to spare them some paperwork and some time in court. They make a deal for the life of a murderer. The judge and the prosecutors made a deal with Huckabee's lawyers and said, look, if you'll just confess and plead guilty to murder, we won't pursue all the other charges, including the assault that took place on the girl's, on this 8-year-old girl's body. There was an assault that took place on her body. And we won't even bring that up. And we'll let you live for the rest of your life with air conditioning, heat, showers, running water, a bathroom, exercise, access to books, movies, and videos. And the murderer took them up on the deal. This Sunday school teacher, allegedly, well, she did teach in a Sunday school. I don't think she was a Christian or is a Christian. Anyway, but in true delusional Christian fashion, phony baloney Christian fashion, the murderer said in a statement, she said to the victim's mother, "I'm asking you, Maria," the victim's mother, "I'm asking you for your forgiveness." She killed her 8-year-old daughter, and she has the... And then pled out to spare her own life, proving that she's unrepentant of this vicious and brutal crime, and then she has the nerve to ask the mother for forgiveness? I mean, if this is the state of Sunday school teachers, then my 5 to 10% guesstimate of actual Christianity might be kind of high. Authorities have released few details about the assault and murder of the 8-year-old girl. That's all part of the deal that they made. They don't want to embarrass this murderer with the details of the assault she made on this young girl's body before she killed her. Unbelievable. The injustice file. Let's close that file before we all get physically ill. Let's move on to the culture file, and perhaps our spirits will be lifted a little bit with some levity. Okay, here's something that should lift your spirits. NASA says that solar flares are going to cause widespread devastation throughout the globe and the population. Yeah. They say these solar flares could release electromagnetic pulses. National power grids could overheat, air travel could be disrupted, electronic items like navigation devices and major satellites could stop working after the sun reaches its maximum power in just a few years. Yeah, according to the Telegraph in London, scientists believe the Earth will be hit with unprecedented levels of magnetic energy from solar flares after the sun wakes from what they call, quote, a deep slumber, unquote, sometime around 2013. Okay, so don't get depressed. Things are looking up. In a new warning, NASA said the superstorm of electromagnetic energy would hit like, quote, a bolt of lightning, unquote, and could cause catastrophic consequences. You know, I have a friend, a good friend here in Denver, who sent me a couple of sermons, some audio clips, of a pastor interviewing a fellow who's been studying these electromagnetic pulses. So he sends me an email on Friday afternoon, and he says, "Doug, you've got to listen to these sermons about the electromagnetic pulses. They're going to kill 2/3 of all the people on the planet." And I wrote him back, and I said, "Thanks a lot, Greg. That's really what I want to hear going into the weekend. Have a great one yourself, brother." But you know what? It was definitely worth listening to, and I'm glad Greg sent it to me. Because I told him, he said, "Here's the thing, Doug, 2/3 of the people are going to be killed." He said, that lines up with biblical prophecy. "Aren't you glad that the end is near?" And I thought to myself, no. No, I'm not. I'm not glad the end is near. I mean, I am looking forward to the time when Christ returns and sets up his government and pays back all the bad guys and elevates all the good guys. I'm looking forward to all that. It's just the getting from here to there that I'm not looking forward to. I mean, I'm having a pretty good time. I have an extremely attractive audio engineer. I have three beautiful daughters. And, no, I'm not looking forward to, I'm not looking forward to the apocalypse. Certainly not. Was there something else? I can't recall. I thought there was something else to that story, but, anyway, let's get back to the warning from the Telegraph and scientists. Emergency services systems, hospital equipment, banking systems, traffic control devices, home computers, iPods, GPS, all could be knocked out due to these massive pulses of magnetic energy. This could cause potentially devastating problems for governments. Yeah, for governments. How's this going to affect the people working in government? What's it going to knock out the teleprompters? Prostitution? People in the government aren't going to be able to function? I don't know. All right. So there you go. If you're getting depressed about the state of justice, don't worry. The end is near. Okay, so from the culture file, here we go. A story on Eminem. I don't know why it is that when I see a story about Eminem, I'm compelled to read it. I don't understand it. It's like a car accident when you drive by and you kind of look and you're just, if there's any blood, you want to see it. I don't know. It's something like that. Anyway, Eminem, who is a hip-hop recording artist, has a new album called Recovery. Eminem says of his new album, he says, "It took me a while to admit it, but I actually did have a problem. I have no musical talent. I have no artistic ability. And I have no skills." No, I made that part up. The no musical talent part. I think he was talking about a drug problem.
That's not shocking.
"I got no talent, and getting sober made me realize that I'm just a fool in everybody's eyes, but I don't have to worry, and I won't die. I'll have a great career as long as you stay high." My rap on the spot about Eminem. Let's see here. Actually, as I was driving across country, I get to some points where I'm out of AM radio range and I can't listen to talk radio, and I pop it over to music. And I happen to hear a leaked cut off the new Eminem record. No, I'm serious. I'm not making this up. And it was all about how he's recovering from it was a whole 12-step nightmare. You know, it was like sitting across the table from a 12-step person, and I've got nothing against 12-step people, but it can just be interminably self-absorbent. I'm sorry. Anyway, so I heard this song, and that might be why I pulled this story down. Plus, I know several young men in my life who Eminem helped to destroy their lives. Or at least he was involved on an artistic level. Let's see. He says that he was a couple hours away from death, that he overdosed and almost died. Yeah. What's a bummer, that he didn't die? Oh. You're not a big fan, from what I understand. Yeah, it would have been nice if he would have overdosed before his first album was released. Spared us all. He said, "I had to admit I had a problem. I had to do it for myself." He had to do it for himself. So Eminem is in recovery. He's doing it for himself now. And there's some people that can go and do that. You know, the drugs and all that, the whole hip-hop lifestyle. Some people can go and do that, and some people can't. I was one of those people who couldn't.
He talks like that?
I don't know. I know that he's like a skinny white kid who tries to talk like a great big black guy. So I'm kind of making that up as I go. But, so I want to tell Eminem and any of his fans out there who might take him seriously, and I can't imagine there are any who do, but he says there's some people that can do it, drugs and the whole hip-hop lifestyle, and there are some people who can't.
That's funny.
No, what do you mean that's funny?
Some people can and some people can't.
Well, there are some people who can write music and some people who can't. But what the larger point that I'm trying to make is that Eminem, nobody can do that successfully. If you get into the whole drugs and fornication and all that of the hip-hop lifestyle, it may appear to morons like you that some people can handle that and that some people can't, but none of them can handle it, Eminem. You just have no idea of what their potential was aside from that lifestyle. And so the potential lost, Mr. M, Mr. Minem, is that it? Is his last name Minem? Anyway, Mr. Minem, you don't understand the potential that has been lost due to drug abuse and massive, rampant fornication. So for all you youngsters out there, no, none of you can handle it. You may not kill yourself or end up a total degenerate loser like Eminem, but you are going to retard your spiritual and social potential to degrees that you may never realize until Judgment Day when God rolls the videotape and he says, here's what you could have been, but since you grabbed a 40 and lit up a spleef back there listening to Eminem records, here's what you became. Your shoes are untied, you idiot. Anyway, that'll be embarrassing on Judgment Day. And I mean, to some degree for all of us, because we've all harmed our own potential. But for someone who is like a Pied Piper to whom the youth of America look, or I guess they haven't really looked to him for 10 years, so maybe I shouldn't pull, I should just stop pulling down stories about Eminem, because perhaps at least as far as our culture goes, he is truly irrelevant. And that would mean that we've moved on to some degree in a positive direction. All right. Do I have anything else from Eminem? No more raps. Do we have any rap or hip-hop that we can use for a bumper?
No.
No. Okay, well, just give me what you got. I guess I'll let that slide since it does have guitar. But I don't think that qualifies as rock and roll, does it? No. All right. But at least it's not hip-hop.
I just don't have it.
All right. Now let's move on. That last story, if you're following Eminem and you bought his most recent record, here's a fellow that you might want to meet really soon. Jack Kevorkian was interviewed by Sanjay Gupta on CNN, and Sanjay Gupta, who was considered briefly for the position of Surgeon General by Barry Ho, before somebody said, wait a minute, Barry, we don't want people to know you're that incompetent yet. We can't appoint a CNN correspondent as the Surgeon General. Barry, come on. We'll have plenty of time to prove your incompetence later when we're faced with actual crises. But anyway, Sanjay Gupta interviewed Jack Kevorkian, and I happened to catch it briefly because I watch CNN
for entertainment.
I watch it purely to try to get material for this show and because I can't stand the borderline pornography of Fox News. So anyway, Sanjay is interviewing Jack Kevorkian, and Kevorkian says to Sanjay, I have no regrets, none whatsoever. No regrets. You know, it reminds me of a young fella that I knew years ago when he was just getting out of high school, and he was just a pothead listening to Eminem and just being an idiot. And we had a bit of a dust-up over his lifestyle. And I was trying to warn him because I said, look, I've been down this road, man. I said, you don't want to do that because you're going to regret it. And he looked at me and he said, hey, I got no regrets. And I said, well, go out and get you some because that's where you're headed, young man. And he did. He did. And I pray for him often and hope that he's back on the path. I hope that he's back to the way, because he was a good kid. But anyway, Jack Kevorkian, who murdered I don't know how many people, sick, old, unloved, depressed people. Jack, well, he helped them kill themselves, which I think when you help another person to die, generally that's called murder. But Jack somehow finessed it. Anyway, Jack says, I got no regrets whatsoever. Sanjay, you want to know the single worst moment of my life? And Sanjay just, you know, with that deer in the headlights look, Sanjay's like, what was the single worst moment of your life? Okay, I'll tell you. The single worst moment of my life was the moment I was born. That's what Jack Kevorkian says. Now, I don't know, Jack Kevorkian's got to be 70, 75 years old, and he considers the worst moment of his life the moment he was born? I mean, that's just creepy. I mean, that is that not mental illness? Does that not qualify as being deranged? Anyway, Jack, you can look forward to some regrets on Judgment Day, and it'll be an interesting time to watch Jack Kevorkian participate in Judgment Day. All right, we're almost out of time. A few more from the Culture File. The Today Show, Ann Curry. Has anyone watched Ann Curry on the Today Show? Of course you haven't. Who could possibly stand to watch Ann Curry on the Today Show? But thankfully, you don't have to. You can listen to this show, and you can spare yourself the torture of watching Ann Curry. She had an interview with Jaretta Hamilton, who was a teacher at a Christian school. She's been fired, and she says that her problems are the result of her being honest. Now, she's a widow with five children. This is from MSNBC. Jaretta Hamilton, former teacher at a Christian school who's been fired. She was a widow with five children. She had gotten work as a teacher at Southland Christian School in January of 2008, and she met a fella. And she began dating this fella. And 3 weeks before the wedding, they engaged to be married. Isn't that wonderful? Well, 3 weeks before the wedding, according to MSNBC, 3 weeks before the wedding, she conceived her daughter, Sarah. 3 weeks before the wedding. Now, I find it interesting the way CNN writes this. CNN says 3 weeks, she conceived her daughter as if it was a miraculous thing. And they're... She wasn't involved with this. I don't know. She just conceived the daughter somehow. Anyway, so she was requesting her maternity leave with an official at the school. And in the course of the conversation, the school official said, okay, Jaretta, I'm trying to do the math here. When exactly did you get married? And it became obvious that the child had been conceived before the wedding. Okay? Now, I know that many of you out there consider this completely passé to even bring up as a topic. But this school official there at Southland Christian School, he considered it a pretty major issue. A week later, she was notified that she was fired. And she was asked to return from the school because of a moral issue, namely fornication, sex outside marriage. The school says the employment application, which she filled out, clearly states that as a leader before our students, we require all teachers to maintain and communicate the values and purpose of our school. Well, she says she didn't know that that included not being a fornicator. At which point someone said, hello, it's a Christian school. Christian school is one of the few bastions on the planet, and only a few of them, where fornication is still considered an indiscretion, to say the least. She says, if there was a contract in place that had a specific morality clause that mentioned premarital sex, I think that would make a difference. Again, it's a Christian school. Have you read the Bible? You know? Hello? Anyway, so this Christian school fired this teacher for fornication, and of course she's suing them. ACLU lawyers, NYU graduates, and graduate students are lined up three deep to prosecute this Christian school for firing a teacher for fornication. Wow. Well, for those of you who may live in the area, Southland Christian School, they may be part of the 10%. Or did we figure out it was only 5%? Anyways, they may be part of the small percentage of Christians who are actually Christians anymore. So, congratulations to Southland Christian School. I don't know what state it's in, but Google it up if you're looking for, you know, you'll figure it out. All of you out there. From Phoenix, Arizona, this is just, here, so one final comment on the state of our culture. From Phoenix, the Associated Press, Arizona police officers arrested a mother last week after she reportedly told them she didn't want her children any longer. They're in the Phoenix suburb of Surprise. The police say they received a 911 call last Friday from an 11-year-old boy who said his mother was packing and moving to California and wasn't taking him or his 6-year-old brother with her. The boy's mother, Christine Munez, when police arrived, the mother came out and told officers she was, quote, sick of her children, unquote. And she asked the police if they would take them so she could go and, quote, have fun and play, unquote. As the children were being removed by Child Protective Services, police officers said the 11-year-old attempted to hug his mother and was met with a punch to the abdomen from his mother. Muniz has been charged with child neglect, felony aggravated assault, disorderly conduct, and surprisingly enough, possession of drug paraphernalia. A magistrate has urged Muniz to get counseling. So here's where we are, folks. After 40 years, more than 40 years, of telling women that it was perfectly okay if you don't want your child just to kill it, we've turned the hearts of the mothers away from their children in our society at large. And it just makes you want to cry. And this story makes me want to cry. The woman will go on trial and all of that. Just unbelievable. All right. All right, I can't take any more news. I want to find something lighthearted. And I found it. Stick with me, ladies and gentlemen. I received this just the other day. You guys know that I'm a fan of science, and I'm interested in origins and the universe and mechanics, quantum mechanics, physics, quantum physics, and science of all types. Well, there's been a new element discovered. This is exciting. They're saying it's the densest element in the known universe, and a major research institution has just announced the discovery of the densest element yet known to science. The new element has been named Pelosium. Pelosium has one neutron, 12 assistant neutrons, 75 deputy neutrons, and 223 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 311. These particles are held together, the particles of Pelosium, are held together by dark forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. The symbol for Pelosium is PU. Pelosium's mass actually increases over time as morons randomly interact with various elements in the atmosphere and become assistant deputy neutrons within the Pelosium molecule, leading to the formation of isotopes. The characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that Pelosium is formed whenever morons reach a certain quantity in concentration They say that Pelosium has been classified as a dangerous element. Yes. All right. That's it, folks. I can't take any more, but I will be back with you next week. Lord willing, I will return. I want to thank KGov Radio. I want to thank Bob Enyart for letting me sit in on AM 670, the 50,000-watt blowtorch for Jesus out here in the Rocky Mountain West. And, of course, as always, I want to thank my other brother, Daryl, for making it all happen here in the Weekly World View Studios. I'll be back with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.